Oh boy. Well, it's all right. We still welcome you in here to the 9 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, sometimes that happens. You think you got the edited version, and Oren's looking at the computer like, this was supposed to be. That's okay.
The system just failed me.
That's all right.
Horribly.
That's all right. That's what we got the dumb button for, right? 404-726-0929.
I'm not getting in trouble for that one. I tell you that much.
No. 404-726-0929. Oh, that's a way to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to give you our college football takeaways from the weekend here in just a second. How did you feel about Max Fried pitching a gem today for the Yankees, coming off of a 19-game winning season and showing that he's still a dominant pitcher in the postseason? Oren, as a lifelong Braves fan, did that wrinkle you at all, or are you like, no, is it good for him? It's fine.
Yankees paid him. That's where he is right now. As concerned about him as in New York, I'm that much more. I'm concerned about Freddie in Los Angeles. No, just I'd rather see. You know what? I'd rather see them go and play well than go somewhere and struggle.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are rooting for just that. As a matter of fact,
just go out there and be great, man. Like. Mm-hmm. I want to see that player that I enjoyed watching here still go out and be that player for another team. Like, I don't want it to be where, like, oh, well, we got the best years of him. No, he's a good player. He deserved to go and get a big payday from somebody, some team, and go out there and be great for another team, if that's what it is.
We knew it wasn't going to be here in Atlanta where he got that check. Speaking of which, by the way, this is fun to watch. As somebody who grew up rooting for the Yankees, and it is Yankees Red Sox.
Here we go, Chris.
It's 3-1 Boston in the bottom of the ninth. Aroldis Chapman on the mound for the Red Sox. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Oren, there were so many times that Aroldis Chapman gave up a season-ending home run.
not a game-ending.
A season-ending.
Not a serious clinching.
It was like three times versus the Astros alone over the past six, 7 years that he gave up a season-ending home run. The Yankees are looking to make a late rally in the bottom of the ninth. But I know nobody here cares about that, so we're going to shift to some college football. Just interesting seeing Max Fried take the mound and go six strong, six strikeouts, and hold the Red Sox to one run. Again, 19 wins for Fried on the season. We'll start where we started with Ian Valentino. Oh, does UGA loss sink them? Or can they respond? Do they need to run the table? Is the question that I have coming off of that game is, now do they need to run the table?
If they run the table, they're in.
Oh,
because that means
sure,
you would have beaten Texas, you would have beaten Ole Miss, and you would have beaten Georgia Tech, who looks like they might not have a loss either.
They did their best to.
They almost gave it away, but. You know, there's a team that at the very least will have maybe one loss, maybe two losses when they come here at Mercedes-Benz and play Georgia Thanksgiving
again
week.
The question for me is two good enough? Is two losses good enough to get you in, if you're not the conference champion? I don't know. This new format's kind of thrown everything for a loop, so I'm just not really sure.
Loop, yes, but I think it's still set up. Are designed, even without the 9-game conference schedules right now, I think it's still designed to get the majority of spots filled by SEC and Big Ten teams. If they have four each. Yeah, if the committee has their way, then they want this filled with as many SEC and Big Ten teams as possible.
I still think it'll be four each. Four each, one or two from the ACC, and then the rest. Good luck is what I'll say for that. Arkansas fires Sam Pittman. What's the state of the Razorbacks? Not good is where I'll start.
By the way, after this is all done and they're going to do the payout, like the AD is saying right now that they don't have the finances, so to speak, to compete with the other teams in the SEC in terms of football program, if you will.
Well, whose fault is that?
They got Tyson Chicken money.
Yeah, whose fault? They got Jerry Jones
money.
Whose fault is that? Don't have your program stink. Sorry, guys. Is there, Oren, in your opinion, because I was trying to rack my brain over this, and I couldn't really think of one. Is there a logical, natural fit there? I don't really see one.
As a person being there?
Yeah, the new head coach.
No,
yeah.
I mean, the most logical fit was Sam Pittman.
Yeah, like I don't
see. He was the Arkansas dude.
Right, like I don't see the guy who just, it sticks out to me like a sore thumb.
You got to find a guy who.
You're going to go get goalish?
You got to find somebody who you can entice with the allure of, hey, you know, we're not a top tier SEC program, but we are in the SEC. And there's big-time SEC money here and big-time SEC coverage. And you're in an area that, while Arkansas might not be the most target-rich recruiting environment, you're not far from Texas, you're not far from Louisiana, you're not far from Mississippi.
No, I mean,
so within that area right there, there's still guys you can go and pluck. So,
I mean, I still remember a decade ago when, you know, maybe closer to 15 years ago, Darren McFadden was running around in the backfield and they – we're winning some big games. I mean, listen, it's not that – and it's, you know, it's an SEC school. The guy for me is Alex Golish. That's the guy, University of South Florida head coach. That dude's a dude. And he has, like, that kind of mentality that you need at a school like Arkansas. But we'll see.
The only problem I have with that, and I say maybe the problem, he's just from outside the region, Brian Harsin. But it's tough when you get a guy who – maybe doesn't have the familiarity.
He's also got baggage.
He got baggage too, but it's Golish being a Florida dude. You're in the area, you're in the region, but it's tough when you're not as involved in the conference, so to speak, or you haven't been as involved in the conference, and you're coming in. It's almost like you're an outsider trying to creep your way in, and sometimes it doesn't reflect as well, or doesn't go as well for those guys.
Speaking of Florida, FSU just not good enough. Like, how do you explain their season? Like, just not good enough to be a legit contender throughout the entire season, but they'll have some exciting moments. I thought they were legit. But
Charlottesville's a weird place for them. Yeah. 1995, that was the, I think, like a Thursday night game. That was the first ACC loss for Florida State when they were in the conference. They won from like 92 to 95. They won every single ACC game. And Virginia was the first time they lost a conference game. So that traditionally has always been.
Was that Tiki Barber?
Maybe Tiki Barber?
That makes sense around the time, right?
But it's an odd place to play for FSU. And then it's tough for Friday night games, I think, and I'm giving you all the excuses right now why FSU didn't come out to play. Facts are they should have gone out there and blown doors off Virginia. They were a more talented football team.
And I mean, much more.
Much more talented, and that shouldn't have been a competitive football game whatsoever. But Charlottesville proves to be very tricky for the Noles.
Last but not least, we already talked about Georgia Tech and Georgia and Penn State. Obviously, James Franklin poops the bed again. But my biggest disappointment from the weekend, though, USC. They lose to Illinois, and I thought USC was on the come. That's a big toe stubbing for me.
After Illinois with a bounce back, too.
Getting blown out.
You get dropped the week
50.
Before by Indiana, and you get yourself composed, and you do a last-second drive to win that ball game versus USC. USC is sort of – they are what they are. It's a lot of flash, but not a lot of substance right now for them, so – they'll get their 8-9 wins, but they'll lose to Notre Dame. They'll lose to Illinois. Actually, they might be an 8-win team this year. How about that? Or a 9-win team this year, I should say. And they'll lose to one other team as well. And then, you know.
Lincoln Riley? I mean, how many more years are you going to do this again, this song and dance?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Is he still worth it? I mean, is he – I don't know their – I mean, I know they had a good recruiting class. But.
Yeah. I mean, USC, and you have – you talk about a school with a ton of NIL money. They were a couple kids last year in Georgia's recruiting class that Georgia ended up poaching away from USC. They talked about – they were USC commits at one point, and – USC would have Aaron Donald just at these kids' official visits just talking to these kids and talking about playing for USC. Aaron Donald played for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was about to say, how does that make sense?
But Aaron Donald would be out for – he'd be out in L.A. on campus for these visits helping USC recruit these kids. I mean, that's the kind of attention that you would get with the USC program, so –
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. That the bloom on the rose there is starting to get a little thin. Hey, want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf
Don't show
Classic.
Up with knee pain like Mike Bell did last year.
Oh, my goodness. Presented by Findlay Roofing is coming up Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 92.9thegame.com and click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going quickly. That's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. All right, when we get back, let's get all the skinny on the Falcons after the huge win on Sunday. Joe Patrick, Falcons Insider, joins me next on Chris Thomas Tonight.